Hey, I'm Angie.
And I'm Emily.
Being a creative person in the corporate space can be really tough, and we should know.
Join us to talk about how to be a right brain in a left-brained world. It's The Artist at Work. Hi, everyone. So we are deep in my organization in the throes of performance reviews. And after having recently completed my own very begrudgingly, this is the exercise I hate most every year as an employee, I got to thinking a lot about how to advocate for myself and promote myself without sounding like a dick, for lack of a better word. So today we want to talk to you about self-advocacy and self-promotion and how those sort of things look different as, you know, as I am a corporate employee or as Angie is an entrepreneur. And so Angie, let's kind of kick it off by how do you as a small business owner promote yourself and advocate for yourself as a professional without feeling slimy?
Right. I think that's a huge topic. There's a lots of different approaches you can take. And I think I'm still figuring out what works for me and what feels most authentic to my brand and to my personal self. What I've started with was truly just telling my networks what I'm up to, sent an email to, you know, everyone BCC'd, literally telling people what I've been doing, and then also telling my LinkedIn network and my Facebook network. After that, I sort of let things come to me organically, but I definitely have more of a plan for the new year. So I'm going to be starting my emails, really just, you know, telling people what I'm doing. I've been doing a lot behind the scenes. You're going to see a lot more from me on LinkedIn, and then additionally just amping up presence on social. So none of that's surprising, so to speak, but that's kind of the approach I'm taking. And if I feel like I need to adjust it, then I will as I go.
Well, you're a person, that's great. You're a person who is very, very good at organically developing networks and connections and friendships. And so as I've seen you sort of ramp up the promotion of your business, everyone who's responded has been, to my eyes, very authentically enthusiastic and supportive of this endeavor for you. And I would imagine could be very helpful in allowing you to grow and get the word out about your business. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been awesome. I have such appreciation for the amount of people who shared my posts or who have engaged or who have started working with me. Like, it's amazing that they trust what I have to say and they want to use my services. But I do think you're going to hear a little more from me. I'm going to try to push it a bit more. At first, I just wanted to see what, you know, stood out to people, who connected with the messaging. And I think there's going to be a lot more strategy there now, now that I do know more of what I'm offering and my availability. So I'm going to be pushing to kind of fill those holes, as well as I'm going to be promoting my first digital course that starts in the early February. So it's going to be really intentional about those messages too. I know that my course isn't for everyone, but I don't want to dilute all my messaging down to exclude people who it's not for. So I'm going to be really intentional about that as well.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And this sort of, you know, kind of overlaps a lot with what we were talking about last week with community, right? Like, our creative communities that we build then help us promote for and advocate for ourselves in our workplaces, whether they be solopreneur gigs or, you know, inside of a corporation. And I think that, you know, fostering those relationships in whatever form they take ultimately are very valuable, not only personally, but professionally.
Okay. So tell me how you promote yourself at work using maybe even just that example you led with your self-review.
Sure. The short answer is I don't.
It's tough. It's really tough.
I hate it. It is really my least favorite exercise of the entire year. And so I tend to approach these reviews very clinically, or self-reviews and self-evaluations is very, very clinically and very matter-of-factly. I'm not one to embellish or add a lot of flowery language around these reviews, which I know is going to be surprising for everybody listening. but I do stick to the facts. And then I'm a big proponent of the work speaking for itself, which I understand is to a certain point kind of a privileged view of things, right? Like I get to let the work speak for itself and don't have to bang on very loudly about what I do and if I am valuable. But I just think that it's really important for me to like share those facts first, let the work speak for itself, and then add value throughout the organization in ways like one of my favorite things to do is a weekly writing tip that I send out to a list of subscribers within the organization. I'm going to start teaching quarterly writing classes in the new year that are open to anybody, and they can just sort of like bring questions or, you know, issues to me. And then I lead by request sort of like internal seminars about different writing issues and questions that people have. So I think that like that sort of promotion and like, for lack of a better term, word of mouth within an organization where people then find what I do to be somewhat valuable or interesting has helped me kind of a lot.
And that's awesome. You have that floor to do that. I'm sure that wasn't in your job description. Those are things that have come up that interest you, help you grow as a leader and a teacher and stretch yourself a little bit differently. So that's amazing that you have an organization that supports that, fosters that, encourages it. To my knowledge, that wasn't happening in other roles that you had.
No, and I would actually, almost my entire career, I have gone outside of my job to sort of lead these tiny little writing seminars for other, for, you know, friends and colleagues, workplaces or networks or groups of friends or whatever. And it's really, I love doing it. I think it's really fun. I think it's really valuable. I get a lot of energy out of it. And so now that I get to do it in the same place where I am working, it's kind of a fun dovetailing for me of two things that I really love to do.
Yeah. And it's a helpful service too, right? You're helping people be better writers, stronger writers, more confident writers, which is an entry point for people to be empowered and do more work on their own before it goes to a copywriter or gets copy edited or whatever the case is.
So one of the reasons we started thinking about this particular question and this issue, aside from performance reviews, is because there is an Instagram account called Best of LinkedIn, which shares some of the wackiest and most embarrassing posts that that platform has to offer. And that's saying a lot because there are certainly many of them. But how do you feel about LinkedIn in general? You touched on this before when you were saying that you were sharing your business with your network, but how do you feel about LinkedIn in general? And is your sort of like, do you feel like it's slimy? How do you avoid being slimy? What's the like, what's your approach to LinkedIn in general?
I actually really like LinkedIn. I think it's a fantastic place to promote without being salesy. You're truly talking, if you're using the channel appropriately, which is definitely one of my issues that I really can go on and on about, is using your channel appropriately. You don't share your birthday on LinkedIn. You don't put an aspirational quote in a picture of your coffee. Well, maybe your coffee. You don't. If your Christmas tree or your
kids, I don't want to see your kids on LinkedIn,
or your candles or nature. I don't know, unless it rolls back to a post and has meaning. I don't think it should be there. That's for Instagram. That's for Facebook. So I think you should use your channels appropriately. So when LinkedIn's used appropriately, I love it. I think it's perfect. You really connect with like-minded people. You can have really open discussions. You can get direct messages that feel really authentic because they've read about you and then they're maybe offering a service you need. There's plenty of people who reach out, recruiters or things that maybe don't resonate. But I think especially since I've started this business, I've connected with more like-minded people or people who like doing things like me, solopreneurs, or people who just do Facebook ads or just do, you know, certain sort of advertising or can get leads for you, whatever it is. I haven't used any of their services, but it's amazing that I could search for those type of people on that platform. So I think when LinkedIn's used appropriately, it's really, really strong and useful. I plan to use it more and more to self-promote, sell my services, and really just get into dialogue with other leaders, mm-hmm. Because I do think there's a really good creative conversation happening there too.
That's cool. That's really interesting. And I love that the thing you said about like the lines between professional and personal channels kind of being pretty drawn. Did that have anything to do with your starting your business's own Instagram rather than just using your personal Instagram to be the mouthpiece for, and you have a significant following on your personal Instagram, but now you have this like Check Plus Coaching Insta, which is like totally business oriented. I love that.
Yeah, it was very intentional. I did feel slimy about just changing my handle on Instagram, and all of my college friends, real friends I've connected with through the years, all of a sudden my messaging just shifting. And, you know, I really like my personal Instagram. I want to foster that as well. But I don't think it was fair to slam the messages like that in their faces. So that's why I started a work account, essentially Check Plus Coaching.
Everyone should follow it, please.
Yeah, please. If you don't follow, give me a follow.
Yeah.
Lots of useful tips on habits, productivity.
Truly.
Uplifting things in there. Also, you're the first to hear about the podcast. If
yes. You know.
You're the first to hear about any products that I might be launching or any specials or anything like that. So it's a good resource. So yeah, it was definitely, you know, super deliberate that I separated the accounts. I wanted people to willingly follow, not be kind of opted in. And then I'm growing it slowly and, you know, we're in the hundreds, but we'll get there.
That's great.
So you kind of flip that on its head. How have you felt, or how would you feel if you were following a friend or a coworker or something, and then all of a sudden they're handle name change and all the content spun differently? And, you know, would you be like, who is this person?
Yeah, I get confused when I follow just content creators who do that. Here's a very weird example, but the first one that came to my mind, and it's kind of embarrassing. I follow an injection nurse who does like dermal fillers and Botox and stuff.
Sure.
And she changed her Insta name and started posting like kind of different stuff from what I was used to, which was just the before and after of like, you know, getting some Restylane shot into your face. And I was very taken aback. I was like, who is this? And when did I decide to follow this person?
Yeah.
I am very taken aback when that happens. And to use your term, this is exactly what it is. Like, I would rather it be an opt-in rather than an opt-out. You know, I want to tell everybody what it is that they've signed up for and then have them willingly sign up for it instead of showing up and seeing me, you know, tooting my own horn about something that they're not interested in. So I absolutely agree with your approach there.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the not feeling salesy thing, right? You
totally
have opted in. So you're here for my messaging.
Yes.
And while I'm not going to always try to be selling you something, you're here for the brand and what the brand has to say. Not a daily basis, but nearly daily basis.
Well, and you're building those relationships, to your point again, as your brand, not as yourself, but you know, the two of those are tied so closely to one another that you can still maintain authentic streams of content on both you know, accounts.
Yeah. It does get a little tricky, you know. I like to share in my story a lot.
Yeah.
You know, really kind of random things. And where's the line? Like, do I, if I'm cooking and I want to show you guys I'm cooking, is that Angelio or is that Check Plus Coaching?
Sure.
And most of the time it's Angelio because that makes sense. But I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, well, if I'm going to use Check Plus more, then I'm also up to this. I'm more layered than habits, productivity, and coaching.
And it brings sort of a humanity to your business that like your personal account has plenty of, but you want people to see that you're a person who does regular person stuff that, you know, can also be related to habits and productivity and creativity and coaching.
Yeah. And that's just not something I had thought about where I would share kind of spur of the moment things when I planned content. Sure. But you know, that instant of Instagram stories or lives or things like that, I hadn't really considered that. So that's been something I've been kind of working through.
That's cool. Have you gone live yet?
I have.
How was it?
I went live just like in my story. I recorded it a few different times.
Sure.
It's awkward, but you're going to see, unfortunately or unfortunately, I don't know, you're going to see a lot more of that this year. It's in my strategy. It's in my plan. Everybody says when you show up more, you show your face more, people, you know, get to know you more and want to hear what you have to say, not because you have a pretty feed, but you have value to add and they get used to seeing you and interacting with you. So you're going to see more of that, as uncomfortable as it might make me. And something I tried last month was I did my first reel.
Oh, how was that?
There is a learning curve there that they don't tell you about.
Really? I thought it was just a video.
Those kids who are good at that, it is incredible. Damn. No, I mean, it is a video. You can just take it in one shot. But the beauty of it is taking it in multiple shots. So you can bring things in and out, like those outfit changes people are doing.
Sure.
Those are multiple shots. So it takes some skill. And then, you know, pointing at things and different things come along into the frame. So I'm going to have a lot more fun with that too, as I know that's a really big thing Instagram's pushing for engagement. So I'll just get more people, more eyeballs on my content if I engage with those sorts of tools. So
that's cool.
More to come with Reels. I have a whole list of ideas, but so it's hard to not feel like a goof, but a goof's okay.
No, was it the reel where you were showing the books?
Yeah.
It was good.
They're all backwards.
I mean, I wasn't going to say anything.
Right. But like, that was something I thought would flip when I posted it. Sure. And then I realized it didn't flip. And I decided that showing up imperfectly was better than not showing up.
Well, that's such a good point. And it's the beauty of doing this and growing it rather than entering a place that's already got 60,000 eyeballs on them. Right?
Exactly.
Like, you just
make
to kind of
mistakes and yeah. I just live with it and it's there. And you still know what I'm talking about. It's not perfect. And I could have deleted it and redid it and made it perfect, but I'd already spent an hour on it. So that's what it is. And next time it'll be better.
Yeah. What have you said before, that perfect is the enemy of done or something like that?
Yeah. I think done is better than perfect.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a really good point in this case. And it's nice to just be able to learn. I mean, you learn so much when you're doing this that you wouldn't if you just like got somewhere where the processes and the programs and the audience were already fully in place.
Exactly. That's so cool. Yeah, there'll be a lot of showing up imperfectly, and I'm okay with that. And I'm okay to look a fool sometimes and laugh at myself. And I encourage others to be too. Again, that's how you learn. And that's, you're probably going to see a lot of shitty lettering from me too.
I can't wait.
Because I got to learn.
You were on a creative team for many, many years in multiple organizations. How did you advocate for a function like design, like marketing, like content or copy that often kind of falls to the bottom of the pile? I think that we've both struggled a lot with this over the years, as our disciplines are seen as not maybe the most important in the room. Not that they need to be perceived that way, but I think that it's a little bit tricky to get the airtime and the respect that the work your team deserves without a little bit of that push. How have you managed that?
Yeah, well, I think I've learned the most from the job we worked together, from our boss. Mm-hmm. Her name's Maureen. She was amazing at leading teams and really letting our work shine and being our best champion. So mm-hmm. I feel like I learned a lot of my leadership and advocacy skills from her. And I took those to kind of my next roles. A lot of what I think is important is doing like quarterly road shows, doing lunch and learns, really just showcasing the talent on your team to an audience beyond your marketing group or your creative team or people you interact with on a daily basis. So broadening your audience so that other people know when to tap in, or they're like, you know, you share a lunch and learn to a bigger group, and all of a sudden you're like, here's all the things we offer. And then you have random people from HR coming up to you and being like, oh, I didn't know you could help us with that.
I mean, how many times have you heard that over the years? I didn't know you guys did that. Well,
exactly.
What do you think we do? But I guess that becomes on, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, but like, I guess then that becomes our responsibility, is to be stewards of the work or whatever you want to call it.
I think yes and no. I think it becomes your leader's responsibility, not as much the worker bees or the doers. Although I think it's natural to build relationships with other cross-functionally and naturally share things. But I think as leadership, it's on them. Mm-hmm. It's on the managers, the directors, the C-level people to vouch for their teams and say what they offer. But I think as a creative person, you want to share your work. You want to put it on the board. You want to talk about your process. And I think that's also a really good practice for a creative person to talk about their work to a non-creative. So you can really tell the story, but not use all the words you would use in a portfolio review.
Sure.
So you talk about it like a business person, not an artist. And I think that skill alone becomes really intricate and awesome as you grow and as you go to different organizations. If you can articulate your work, your why behind it, and not because it's pretty or not because it looks good that way. Or so when someone says to you, well, that logo isn't in, I feel like that logo should be bigger. I think it should be in the bottom. You could say, actually, we did ad testing and the logo performed better when it was in the top right corner. And you speak to facts and you really get some power behind your statements. I think the more you can truly articulate what you mean and why it's good and why it stands on its own, the stronger of a designer, writer, creative professional you'll be.
Great points. I totally agree.
So Emily, as an employee, as a person who works for a company and organization, how can you, you know, promote yourself even more at work and authentically?
Sure. I think that like I have struggled with this for many, many years, really my entire life, and feeling gross about it the whole time. But I think the thing to keep in mind is that people don't know what they don't know, A, and that learning is kind of fun, B, and C, nobody's going to ask you to do this. So you just have to put it on yourself to say, you know, I think maybe if I were somebody else, I'd like to learn about what they, you know, another person in the organization were doing. So how can I make that digestible and easy and fun for them? How can I share with them what I do, what I'm passionate about, and how I help our larger goals be accomplished? So if that is writing a weekly email tip, if you're me, if that is, you know, leading sort of creative seminars in some way, if that's just, you know, casual lunch and learns, I think that you had a great point about the roadshow. I don't think that there's any reason to knock people over the head with it. But I think that there's a lot of just like gentle proactivity that you can kind of adopt and use. And now we've got all these tools that don't require those of us who don't feel very comfortable in front of an audience to stand in front of a microphone and talk about what they do for 45 minutes. It's not a TED talk. You can create a Slack channel for writers, which is what I've done in my organization. You can create a Slack channel for, you know, writing tips, and you can create all sorts of like virtual communications and ways that don't feel, as though you're blowing your nose into a megaphone, and that just feel like they're kind of more, again, you're letting people opt in rather than bashing them over the head with something that you don't think that they're going to be interested in or that you feel uncomfortable sharing. You can just say, I'm offering this, you're invited, and then they can opt in. And those are the people you want to be in your audience anyway.
That's the exact same approach I'm taking with Chess, right? So I listen to a lot of digital course creators, a lot of podcasters, a lot of people who are in my space. And they often will say, you have something to share. It's unique. It's awesome. People want it. So you're doing them a disservice, not selling it to them, not letting them have it. So you just have to figure out the packaging that feels good for you and then go with it. And then if, you know, you need to adjust, you do that. So that's kind of the motivation and the energy I'm bringing to this promotion of yourself is truly like people need it. So let's give it to them.
Yeah. And then they can decide that they need it later. They can decide that they no longer need it, but then you're sort of giving them the keys. So you don't feel gross about constantly, you know, promoting yourself.
Yeah. And they've opted in to hear from me. So I think that's really important. And a distinguisher between feeling, hit over the head with something rather than being like, I invited this into my inbox. I'm going to keep it around for a while. I might even buy something, but when I'm done with it, I could be done with it, or I could keep it just because it's useful information once a month.
So something we haven't done in a few weeks, but we would like to bring back is homework. We were all on winter break, I think, in some capacity. But why don't we assign our listeners, maybe going a little bit outside of your comfort zone, to do a self-promotion or self-advocacy exercise that also does not feel slimy to you?
Yeah, I think that's great. Personally, I think I'm going to tap into LinkedIn this week.
Cool. I am going to work on my little creative project and promote it via my channels, including this one at some point. I already kind of did spill the beans on that. It's that, you know, song thing. But I'm going to, you know, talk about that in a little more of a vocal way and get people informed, if not interested about it, and ask them to opt in if they so choose.
Perfect.
Thanks. We're excited to celebrate a new month and a new year with everybody. And we will see you back here next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Artist at Work. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Instagram and Twitter under the handle @artistatworkpod, and our website is theartist-atwork.com. We'll see you next time.